I want to share today for a few moments. I know we have a reception following, and I want you to have plenty of time around the tables with these students. They're fantastic students. Just about every one of those students serve and work hard in the house, and that's why it is so easy to celebrate them and to thank God for what He is doing in their lives. But we're continuing today our series, "The Fire Still Falls," and we're going to take another step toward the glory. If this is your first Sunday in this series, it really began as a way to honor the 120th anniversary of the Azusa Revival that happened. So many spirit-filled churches, denominations, expressions literally trace their history back to Azusa, and of course, even further back than that, all the way to Acts chapter 2, and all of that is powerful, but there's something special about what happened in Los Angeles at that Azusa Street Mission where revival broke out. And we're honoring graduates today as well, and I want them to hear a message that can set direction in their lives and set direction for all of us. And these graduates today, they may be graduating high school, or they may be graduating college or tech programs, but all of us are being invited to enroll in yet another school. And this is not pressure today, because I'm not going to talk to you about the school of life or the school of adulting or any of those things. I want to talk to you today about the school of the Spirit. The school of the Spirit, because there are lessons you learn in classrooms, and then there are lessons you can only learn in the school of the Spirit. I'm reading today from Luke chapter 3, just two verses, verses 15 and 16, if you have your Bible and want to join me there, or if you'll follow along on the screen today. Luke says, chapter 3, verse 15, "Now as the people were in expectation and all reasoned in their hearts about John," speaking of John the Baptist, "whether he was the Christ or not, John answered, saying to all, 'I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire.'" This is just before the world meets Jesus. Of course, he's 30 years of age. He's been operating in the background. He's been growing and you know, just waiting for his time. And John has been doing ministry, but John is careful to say, whoa, no, I'm not the one. You're looking for one mightier than I. I'm not even worthy to loose the sandals on his feet. He is going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Because there are some things school cannot teach you. Of course, our graduates today are celebrating their learning for the last 12 or 13 years, including some kindergarten or maybe some preschool, or I bet they think they know it all. In fact, I'm sure they do. The truth is, they don't know it all. They know enough for now. They know enough for now. Of course, they're going to need more, because here comes college and here comes career and here comes life, and all of those are coming very, very fast. But again, this is not about pressure today. It's not about having to figure out how to pay this and pay that. It's You need to take a moment and breathe and just celebrate and just thank God for the accomplishment of the last 12 plus years of your life. And so we celebrate our graduates today. We honor their discipline. We honor their achievement. We honor their preparation. And of course, we honor their growth. But there are some things that a classroom cannot teach. Believe it or not, there are some things that a degree cannot produce. There are some things that a textbook cannot impart. There are some things, and it so happens that those are the things that you may need the most. I've yet to use the algebra I learned in school. It's too late. You're going to have to go through it too, students. But I've yet to use it personally. But there is this other school that I want you to know about. It is the school of the Spirit. That's why John Baptist said there is a mighty one coming. And here is what will differentiate he and I. Here is what will set him apart from any ministry that I've had among you, anything that I have been able to do, any good that I have been able to inspire. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Does anybody want the Holy Spirit and the fire? Does anybody want what this Jesus is pouring out and what he is able to do in our lives? Because here's what I've learned. Education can form our minds, but only the Spirit can transform our lives. Education can do one thing, but the Spirit can transform our lives. And I thank God for great teachers. I thank God for incredible educators and support staff, all of which we have here in this church. They know it's a battle. They know it is a struggle. You hear all of the craziness in the news each day. Our kids are literally in spiritual warfare. They don't even realize it. They don't even know the source of some of the anxiety and the stresses and the pressures that they are feeling swirling in their minds and in their hearts. What is that all about? I'll tell you what it's about. The devil knows that if he can get them young, he will have them forever. That's why I stand flat-footed, 10 toes down on this Sunday to say it will not happen here. Devil, not today. We have risen up to say these are our babies, these are our students, and we will not let them go nor turn them loose in a wild world. They are anointed for God's purpose. They are set apart for God's cause. Is anybody thankful for the anointing that's on our students? So let's go to school. Let's go to school for just a few minutes today. But it's not just any school. It's the school of the Spirit. Because I need to know what I can learn, what you and I can learn today about what moves God. I need to know what it is that moves our lives forward. Any educator, any teacher in the room knows it's almost impossible to teach someone who thinks they know everything. If they think they know it all, it's hard to tell them something or to teach them something. But I feel like there's some people in the room that are saying, hey, I want to learn. I want to know more. I want to understand all that God has for me. So here's the first lesson we have to learn today. We have to be hungry. If you want to succeed in the school of the Spirit, you have to be hungry. That's what Luke said about those that had gathered around John the Baptist. He said the people were in expectation. They were sitting on the edge of their seat. They were leaning in. They craned their neck to tilt their ear and make sure they were hearing, because they were literally hanging on every word. What are they doing? They are waiting for more. They are believing that something is possible. As far as I've come, there's still more to go. As much as I've seen, there's still more to be seen. As much as I have experienced, there are still experiences waiting to happen in my life. It's not that they were unhappy, it's that they were unsettled, knowing there was more available. Listen, if you are going to be successful in the school of the Spirit, if you're going to make the grade in the school of the Spirit, you have to start here. You have to start with this posture. I have not seen it all. I have not experienced all that God has for me, and I believe there is more for my life. So let me get on the edge of my seat in expectation and anticipation of what God wants to do in my life. Is anyone in this house hungry? Hungry for the things of God. Luke said it. John said it. One mightier than I is coming. Luke said it of John the Baptist. One mightier than I is coming. You see, hungry people hear that differently. Religious people hear information. Hungry people hear invitation. What do you mean, one mightier? I mean, John, we thought you were the business, man. Our lives have been blessed, and our hearts have been turned, and our families have changed for the better. And you're telling me there is more available? You're telling me there is more possible? Yes, the school of the Spirit begins with appetite, because you cannot be filled if you are already full of yourself. I just wonder, are we hungry here? Are we hungry at the church, Covington? Are we unsettled because we know there is more that God wants to do? I've enjoyed some of the history of Azusa and some of the stories and some of the impact stories that come out of that experience 120 years ago. It's fascinating to read about the Azusa Street Revival, and just remember this began as a prayer meeting. William Seymour, the evangelist, had tried to start revival at another church, but as soon as he even introduced to them the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they locked him out of the church. And so I don't know if it's a friend. I don't know if it's just some hungry saint that said, well, let's meet at my house. If this church doesn't want us, then let's go to my house. And so they went to that house at 216 North Bonnie Bray Street. But that house filled up, and ultimately that prayer meeting spilt out onto the streets until they found this old horse stable at 312 Azusa Street. I've been there. I've stood in front of that building right there on that street. And for the next several years, people came from around the world. You need to know that history tells us that all people came. They came from every race. The poor and the rich came. The educated and the uneducated came. Why? Because every single one of them, no matter their race, no matter their economic background, no matter if they were from the right side of the tracks or the wrong side of the tracks, they had one thing in common. Every single one of them were hungry to experience more from God. I'm going to give you a little clue today as to why all of us can be in this room together. Every race, every background, every every side of the tracks, we have something in common. We are hungry for God to do something in our lives. We're not interested in just church as usual, but we want God to pour out His Spirit. We want God to move and to work and to do what He wants to do. Can I just preach for just a few moments? I just feel myself racing today, and my spirit's trying to slow me down because I don't want you to miss this. I promise you, the cake will be there. I promise you that the cake is not leaving this building until I get some. I do have some pull around here. I got pull with cake. People were hungry. And here's what history says. History says that the people stayed for hours. They didn't. I got a clock back there that's guiding me, and I know where we are on time, and that's why I feel the rush, because I want the graduates to have plenty of time. You're trying to manage all of these things, but at some point, you have to throw the clock out the window. At some point, you have to say, Lord, we are hungry for more than cake. We are hungry to be in Your presence. We are dissatisfied with anything less. We are unsettled with anything less. We want to be in Your presence so that You can do what You want to do. Because if we're too busy for God, then we're busier than God wants us to be. Those services, they often, history says, were there all night long. What if we stayed here all night? I didn't get an amen, so. Sometimes their services continue day after day. But I get it. We're already feeling the pressure. The preacher's feeling the pressure. And you're looking at your clock because you got to be at work on Sunday afternoon. And you got to get a kid to some practice or some ball field somewhere. And we're just in the rat race. And we're just so pressed. And we're just so stressed. And we're just feeling all of this. But these people, in order to host this revival, in order to see His Spirit poured out, they set aside the program. There was no clock controlled order. People prayed, people testified, people sang, and people responded as the Spirit moved, whether it lasted an hour or 6 hours, or even if it went all night long. Why did they do this? It wasn't because the building was impressive. It wasn't because the seats were even comfortable. There was no polish on the program. You wouldn't think their music was good. You wouldn't think their singers were talented. They did this because they were hungry. They weren't trying to attend church. They weren't trying to check a box for once a week, I'm in the house of the Lord. They were desperate for God. Do we believe there is one mightier than anything you and I have to offer, than anything you and I can put on the table? Do we believe there is one mightier available to every single one of us? It will only happen if we are hungry. It'll only happen if we are dissatisfied. It'll only happen if we throw our plan out the window and we say, God, we're going to live according to Your plan. And I get it. I understand. Believe me, I understand. We like control, but you see, revival requires surrender. We schedule services while God tries to schedule encounters. We're still having services, and God is saying, I got an encounter for you. But in order for me to do what I want to do, you're going to have to suspend the rules. In order for me to move the way I want to move, you're going to have to suspend the rules and allow me to do what I do best. And ladies and gentlemen, the reason that Azusa happened the way it did is because order left the building. But when order left the building, God walked in. I'm an order guy. I'm a plan guy. But I'd rather be God's guy that says, Lord, do what you want to do. Do what you want to do. You know why? Because hungry people, they linger. Hungry people seek. Hungry people wait. Hungry people pray. Hungry people keep returning, saying, hey, what do you want to do? What do you want to do, God? And I love our graduates. Our graduates are stepping into a new season, and they're asking questions like, what career, and what's next, and what is in the future for me? And every one of those questions matter, and I hope you're asking them, and I hope you're contemplating them and thinking through them carefully. But hear me, don't become so hungry for success that you lose your hunger for God. Hungry people stay in the room until the fire falls. Hungry people. Anybody glad to be in school today? I'm sure the lunch lady will hold us just a minute, but I don't want to miss a holy moment for your family or for my family. I'll stay in school for just another moment. Here's the next lesson at the School of the Spirit. You got to be hungry, but you got to stay hidden. You got to stay hidden. You got to stay hidden. You see, for it to be all about God, it must remain little about you. In order for it to be about God, it cannot be about me. We have too many people playing God today. Too many people making decisions that we need Him to make. Getting over in our Savior complex and thinking we can fix it all and we can solve it all and we can satisfy it all. We've got talent that has taken the place of travail. There's people in this room that when I say the word travail, you don't even know what I'm talking about. What is that? I've been around this church. What is travail? I don't know. Open your Bible. Maybe God wants to put a travail in your spirit. But in order for that to happen, we must be hidden in Him. We must be hidden in Him. We've got to die to self. I don't know what's wrong with our culture in 2026, but we can't give a dollar to a beggar without taking a picture of ourselves giving the dollar. What is wrong with us? We can't do a good deed unless there's video footage of us doing the good deed. That's what's wrong with us. And God cannot bless America. God cannot bless our churches until we get the self out and we get hidden. We get hidden in the presence of the Lord. You see, they were asking John Baptist. That's the reason this conversation is happening. They were saying, hey, man, we've been looking for a Messiah. It's been prophesied generation after generation. Are you the Messiah that we're looking for? That's the reason John responded as he did. The Bible said that they were there in expectation, and they were reasoning, hey, Is John Baptist, is it him? Is he the one that we are looking for? And John says, no. I need you to know, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, his sandal strap. I'm not even worthy to loose, because one coming means that I am not he. You see, it's okay to be confident and know that God is using you, but also know that you are not Him. Not Him. Not Him. Thank God for whatever wisdom He's given me. Thank God for whatever obedience I have been able to honor the Lord with and my call with, but I am not God. At some point, we got to put the complex down. We got to set aside the Savior mentality that says we are in charge or we can do it all, and get hidden in the things of the Lord. It's another one of these stories from Azusa. Pardon me a minute, my prop is a little conspicuous today, but the story goes that William Seymour, the evangelist of the Azusa Street Revival, would oftentimes put a crate over his head while he was praying or preaching. He would put a wooden crate. I couldn't source a wooden one at the last minute, but I can see this a little bit and see you. But William could not see the people, and the people could not see him. Why? Because there was no performance. There was no control of the room. And while he was hidden, while it was less about him, it was all about God. While he was under the crate, kneeling down behind that pulpit, he was saying, "This has nothing to do with me. I know they gave me a parking spot out in the lot. I know they gave me a special chair to sit in, but this is not about me, God. It's all about you." I mean, think about that for a moment. Think about being hidden in him, at the center of this global revival that would literally still shake the earth 120 years later. They say, I just read it again this week, the fastest growing churches in America, because the church has been in decline, but the churches that are growing, the churches that are climbing in attendance and engagement, are spirit-filled churches. Pentecostal persuasion churches. And I realize that pendulum swings from crazy to calm. I get it. It's all points in between. But imagine the global revival, and the leader is trying to disappear. He doesn't want a spotlight. He's no platform obsession. He wanted people to encounter God and not him. He wanted there to be complete dependence upon the Lord. Hear me, ladies and gentlemen, when the preacher disappears, God appears. That's why John said, "He must increase and I must decrease." I don't know what's going on, but we are a culture that is addicted to visibility. Can't do anything without being seen. And the mantra of the day is that we must be seen to be effective. But Azusa whispers, the school of the Spirit whispers, if you'll disappear and let God be seen, I'll do something that man has never imagined before. I'll come with a fresh wave. God, I feel your Spirit in this house. I'll come with a fresh move in this house. I'll come into this community with a fresh outpouring of my Spirit. I will do what you can only imagine is possible if we stay hidden. School of the Spirit forms people in hidden places. Let me get to my close today. Here's that last lesson. You got to be hungry. You got to stay hidden. But here is the last lesson from the school of the Spirit. We must remain holy. We must remain holy. He said it, Luke 3:16. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. You got to understand today, this is more than a visitation. This is an indwelling. This is beyond a Sunday thing. And I get it, I get it. I'm preaching to people that you live all kind of life through the week, and your life is moving fast, spinning fast, going crazy. You got all kinds of things happening in your life. And Sunday's just a moment. Sunday's just a couple of hours. Sunday's just a short amount of time. Sunday's just a moment. It's just a breath. But God is saying, no, I don't want to just be your Sunday thing. I want to be your whole life thing. I don't want this to just be the place you run to when there's chaos or when there is trouble. I don't want this to just be the place you go to. I've talked to people this week that are in crisis, that are in a mess, that are in panic, and I don't see them here today. I don't say that to judge. I don't say that to throw a stone. I'm saying if you think I can do something more for you than the presence of the Lord can do, we've got it all upside down. I need to be in the presence of God first. I need to be in the house of God first. And I get it. People have medical emergencies and people can't be here for good reason. I understand that. But I'm talking about just living my life so frustrated and so upset and so aggravated with how everything has turned out. And I'm just sitting home today with arms folded and I'm sulking and I'm mad and I'm, no, get your tail into the presence of God. Come to Jesus and let him help you. Let me teach you about this indwelling for just a moment. I mean, this is school after all. God will not dwell in an unclean temple. We quote that as scripture, but it's really not scripture. The phrasing is scriptural. It's based in scripture. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? You were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I know I put my pants on one leg at a time today, but I don't even belong to me. I know I made choices and decisions, but I don't even belong to me. And you'll see the pattern in Acts 2. Maybe next week we'll be in Acts 2. You'll see the pattern that the Spirit follows repentance, which is a cleansing. But you see it here also in this story about John the Baptist. Jesus showed up with fire after baptism, which is a cleansing. It's the pattern. When I repent, when I go to the waters of baptism, when I kill the old man, when I say no to the flesh and I say yes to the Spirit, that's when God fills us with power and with authority and with fire. I don't want to just get clean one time. I want to remain clean. You all know, you've been around church any amount of time. You know what it is to just run from repentance to repentance. Just, oh God, I'm messed up, I'm running. But what would happen if we remain? What would happen if we remain? Because if the Spirit lives in us, then holiness is not about religious performance. Rather, it's about creating an environment where His presence remains. I don't leave this behind when I leave church on Sundays. I take Him with me. And He lives in my home. And He's in my car. He's with me at school. With me in college, he's with me on the job, he remains in my life. The truth is, we need to live like someone is living in us, dwelling within. You know good and well, if you have company come, you straightening pillows and doing that karate chop in the middle of all of them, trying to, you know, vacuuming floors and dusting. Please do all of that before I come, please. I'll do it before you come too. You live, you keep the house like company's coming. It's the way I need to be with the Lord. I need to keep my house like someone lives inside. That means I pay careful attention to what I ingest. I pay attention to what I take in. That's why I'm careful about what I see or what I watch or what I hear. Why? Because I'm not the only one watching. Is that too old school for this new church? I want to host the Holy Ghost. Some want the fire. Some want the power. We like the idea of the gifts, but we ignore the character that's needed to host His presence. But hear me today. The Spirit does not just visit holy places. He makes people His dwelling place. Folks, this is more than information. This is a call to transformation in your life. If the school you graduated from was reading and writing and arithmetic, and the school of the Spirit is hunger, humility, and holiness, the fire still falls on hungry people. The fire still falls on humble people. And the fire falls on holy people. Father, I thank You, Lord. I felt Your Spirit just brooding, hovering. Literally sitting on this room. I'm not over it. I've not felt You so many times that it's just old hat to me, and it's just, there goes God again. I thank You, Lord. I thank You, Lord, that You're willing to live in my heart. I thank You, Lord, that You're willing to fill my life. I'm praying today for every single one of us, every heart, every man, every woman, every student, that a hunger would well up in us. We'll get cake and we'll get lunch, and still something will be growling on the inside. What is this? I know I ate. I've had lunch. No, this is something more. Something more. Hungry for more. I'm hidden, Lord, in Your presence. I'm hidden in Your house. I'm hidden in Your glory. Lord, I reach for Your holiness. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and maybe someone in this room today that would say, you know what, Pastor Darrell, it's time. I've run too far and too fast, and today is the day of salvation in my life. What do I need to do to get God? I need to get clean. I need to repent, because that's the pattern, folks. When I get things in order, God says, okay, I see you, serious, inviting me, wanting me. Are you saying I got to get perfect because I don't think that's possible? No. I rebuke the spirit of condemnation. I silence the lie of the enemy that says you got to get good to get God. No. All you have to do is say yes to Him. Make yourself available to Him. And say, Lord, I repent of my sin. I yield my life to you. Maybe people in this house that want to pray that right now, do that, do that. Borrow my words if you need to, or pray yours that are in your spirit right now to say, Lord, I want to be holy. I want to be holy. I'm not talking about judgmental holy. I'm not talking about legalistic holy. I want to be pure in your presence, Lord. I want you to arrest my attention as I surrender my spirit to you, as I yield my life to you. Lord, I want you to be Savior and authority and ruler of my life. I repent and I am forgiven. I call on your name today, Lord. Save me. Baptize me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen, amen. 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 Can we just give God praise for just a moment in this room? Thank you, Lord. Say it one time. Today, I'll be right here. I'll pray with you. I'd love to pray with you today. If you need to go, I understand. Stop by and love on our graduates a moment and bless them and just let them know we celebrate their fantastic and incredible accomplishment. And we love each of you. We thank God for what He's doing in our lives. There's sign-up tables for picnic and all of those things. Check what's happening in the lobby. There's a lot happening, and we want you to be a part of it. Amen. Go with God today. You're worthy.